Now we've come to the portion that has been given to Michael Balco of the Orlando Ecclesia. And the subject that he has chosen is Search Me, O God. Search Me, O God. Mike?
Thank you, Brother Lowell. And dear brethren, it certainly is a blessing to be here today with you all, rejoicing in the sweet fellowship, the wonderful lessons we had expressed this morning, and also enjoying the testimonies of the dear ones. I wanted to first bring the love of your brethren in Orlando. It was already mentioned, but they did vote this week that we would be commissioned to bring that love. And also the love of brother and sister Wessel, who had traveled last week up to visit their son Jerry in New York. And they're returning home first part of this week. But they want to be remembered to everyone. And also I'll bring the love of my parents, Mike and Marge Balco, who we visited with, and also the West Newton, Pennsylvania Ecclesia we served last week. And I wanted also to say that Sister Vicki and my sons, Jeremy, Timmy, and Ryan, are also rejoicing to be here today with you. Search me, O God. This is a part of a scripture that comes from Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. The goal that I have today, as I'm expressing my thoughts to you, is that we remember the experiences that we've had in the past year. The wonderful blessings that we have received from our Heavenly Father through His rich storehouse. And that we use these experiences to build on for this year that we have entered into. And to continue to build on those each day that we are privileged to go on in this narrow way. And being led by the Father, guided by the Holy Spirit. And so, through this past year, we've had many experiences. Some joyous, some a little bit harder for us to endure. So they have been both joyous and trying. But we know that they're all working out for good in our own lives, that we can work for these things to improve ourselves. And my prayer for each one here is that we then do build on these things and apply them to our daily lives, that we can each day and each way that we have to use these to improve and to grow and to develop. We've indeed had opportunities in the past to gather at conventions such as this, to meet together in our weekly meetings, to fellowship one with another. We've had opportunities, as was expressed in a testimony meeting, to correspond with one with another, to send love, to send a feeling of compassion and understanding through our correspondence. We've had phone conversations with our brethren, and we do testify in these things to our Father's goodness and His tender mercies, which have touched each one of our lives. All of these build us up together in this, in the bonds of love and fellowship and devotion that we can serve that one and only true and living God, our Heavenly Father. And they help to encourage us that we can be sympathetic one to another, sympathetic high priest in this day in which we're living. That we can show forth our love and our sympathy and our understanding and our compassion that we have, and it's a true feeling of oneness. And how often for each other flows this sympathizing tear and has flown throughout this past year. And continues to touch our hearts, because our hearts are now these fleshly hearts that can be touched with love. And we're approaching that mark of perfect love. And when we get there, we stand fast and firm. And we want to share it with those round about us. And at times when we meet like this, we're mindful of those that are absent from our meeting place. For some, the course is finished. The sacrifice totally consumed. For others, the desire burns deeply to be here, but for reasons known to them and the Lord, they could not. For us, we were able to get here today, and we're able to take part in this convention, to gather here, to have the earnest desire of our hearts fulfilled, to be with the Lord's people, to dwell with them in love, in unity, in fellowship, and a feeling of goodness that we feel, and it permeates this place, and we can take it with us when we leave. All gathered together in sweet fellowship, just as many of us were able to do last week for a watch night service. And through circumstances, my family and I had to leave up north early, and it was the first time I wasn't at a watch night since I've been alive. So it was very unusual for me. In 42 years, I haven't missed any. But the Lord did provide. And we can, at that time, when we're absent from the brethren, we're not absent in spirit and love and fellowship and communion, because we have that like kindred spirit one with another. And this kept us going, and I know it keeps us going when we're apart from the brethren. And it helps us to open up our hearts to the Lord with earnest prayer, as we have done in past days. So should we continue in the days and weeks ahead in this new year, that we desire to know His will and have that will worked out and be submissive to it in our lives, and to have that will of God be worked out and the love of God be shed forth in us. And that we can each day as we meet and study, develop more of the knowledge of Christ and the Heavenly Father's plans and purposes, the truth. Seeing how all the things in this world, the pastimes of an hour, how they pale in comparison to the Heavenly Father's glorious plans and purposes. But we realize at the same time that it's one thing to have a knowledge of the truth, but in another then to have its spirit. John 4:23 tells us, worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are admonished to have an outward manifestation in our lives of a reverence for holy things, which is very pleasing to the Heavenly Father. And this helps us to go on and become obedient and pleasing sons of God. It helps us to conduct our lives, our words, our actions with the proper attitude and the right motives. These were expressed so many times by David, and I want to be pure in thought, action, help me, teach me, use me. Let us continue with this attitude throughout this new year, that we approach the Heavenly Father and go to Him in spirit and in truth. Our Heavenly Father uses the comparison here of having the proper heart attitude and not having it. Of blending our knowledge and our love and our proper attitude with an understanding of how we are to use this in His service and be a help to one another. And to have a heart attitude that's totally committed to Him. That is totally committed to Him. And how do we do this? We know it's been pointed out before that we must study. But not only study, we absorb. We're like that sponge that wants to drink in all that we can. We're hungering and we're thirsting after truth and righteousness. Because we know that we are these leaky vessels, we have to go out and cultivate more. Develop our hearts, develop our minds. With the goal of growing ever pleasing to the Heavenly Father, ever praising Him, ever going on to want to be used more in His service, and reaching again that mark that is set before us. And He's promised that He would dwell with us if we desire to have Him do this. Isaiah 26:3-4. A spirit that is striving to be pure and upright and good and long-suffering, patient, kind. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And at the same time, we blend this with 2 Timothy 2:15. A workman rightly dividing the word of truth. So in all these things, we want to grow and develop. But we are uncompromising when it comes to the world. We're not letting any of those aspects of the world creep into our minds and take up our time and our energy, distractions here and there, which are so easy to fall into in this time in which we're living. When in an instant we know of all the business and dealings of every person on any corner of the earth. But we resist steadfast that we are striving to do all we can. That we realize that we have the Word of God given to us. And we are striving to be that like that one who lives for Christ. For me to live is to live for Christ. To be faithful. And we have all that we need to be faithful in our lives. We have the words that are spoken, the good comments made in the studies. We have the scriptures that we use and we study them and we glean and we apply, we use. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all this scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, this teaching. We know that we are being taught of God. We have to be teachable, meek. As our Lord was. And it's given that the man of God may be made perfect, or that he may grow into mature, loving, picture of the Father as the Son was. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then having that Spirit within him, he lets his light so shine among men that all may see these good works. And when they see those good works, they're not moved to glorify the individual, but they're moved to give glory to God, from whom all these wonderful blessings flow. And that we can in turn glorify our Father which is in heaven. Again, in this year that we're into now, let's go on and know more each day of what it means to live for Christ. And that we can be one who has a perfect joy now and a perfect communion with the Father. And that we can feel, as Paul said again, for me to live is to live for Christ, and to die is gain. I'm giving up my all to serve my Master, my Father. And I go on each day with this, to want to be totally used and consumed in His service. And so let us go on each day to take heed to the Scriptures. We have another one in 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself. And in Galatians 6:4, let every man prove his own work, and he shall have rejoicing in himself. We have our theme text. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Because I have entered into this household of faith, I have said, Father, I love you. And the Father says, he pulls you to his heart, I love you. He loved us first. He wanted us to confess that we loved Him. So we're inviting Him to examine our hearts, that He can look at our heart and know our motives and our desires are pure. And our conduct each day is upright and good. Look at the comparison between walking in this way and what we see the world of mankind into now. Everything that's evil and against God's justice and love and mercy. We had it expressed already this morning. This is what we have consecrated ourselves to do, to take a stand for truth and righteousness. That we can have this rejoicing in ourselves, and then again, letting it flow out to those round about us. So we say again in Psalm 26:23, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Here I am. Use me in your service. I've responded to the call. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Throughout the past year, the years before that. And I have this burning desire to go on as long as you need me in this service, each day, in the days that are coming, in this year that we're in. So Psalm 25, so show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait. And as we wait, we know that we're patiently waiting. And we want to be ready in our wait. We're taking on that armor of God. We're protected. The helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. Fully prepared for anything that the adversary and his evil cohorts could ever sling against us. For the lesson in Luke 12, 13, really through the end of the chapter down to verse 40, be thou therefore ready also, for that Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. If we remember this lesson, while Jesus was teaching the people, a man came to him and he said, Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. And our Lord, with his perfect mind, he detected a wrong spirit. He detected conduct that needed some reproof. And he said, Man, who hath made me a judge or divider over you? Take heed. Beware of this covetousness that thus has in your life. And for a man's life is not made up of the abundance of the things that he has. And Luke 12, 14 and 15. We know that the man, from his standpoint, the request was probably not without reason. He had this carnal perception of Messiah, a selfish perception, as we see even rampant in the world today. As was spread there by the Jews. He reasoned that if Jesus was the Messiah, this judgment and this justice was to be the basis of his reign. It said so in Isaiah 9:7. And if it was not so, and if it was so, why not get this benefit of this judgment now? But you know, Jesus, although he did not say exactly so, he implied that his kingdom was not of this age. And now was not the time to render this kind of judgment. But you know, we realize that there was also a kind of judgment that was being made of the Jews. And this involved light. It included those who were of the right attitude of heart and mind. And we know that Jesus was offering life, a spiritual life, that could be obtained only by following in his footsteps. Only obtained by participating in his suffering, the self-denial. To realize that he was indeed the Son of God, who was sent down to take away the sins of the world. But this person was consumed with material desire. The world had gotten hold of him, and he had given very little thought to the character development. And this was a warning that Jesus gave against this type of thing in Matthew 19, 16 to 22. This parable spoken of by our Lord Jesus on the same occasion to this group of people and in harmony with our lesson. For what profiteth a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For he shall then find life. He shall find life. All that we want, all that we need, we find in Christ. Because we know that we've had so many beautiful words spoken about the treasures of life that we lay up and they're corrupted We had it mentioned today about the gold and the silver. Will be meaningless. Now, if you talk to people at work today, especially in Florida and some other states, if I could only win that lotto, the lottery, all my troubles would be over. I don't care if it's a doctor, a ditch digger, a teacher, a plumber, all the troubles would be over. But you say, listen to the Word of God. Understand Him and His ways, and your troubles are over. For better times are coming. But they turn your back. They turn their back on it. They don't want to hear it. It's not gratification now. That's what they want. But we have entered into this covenant relationship with Him. And we're laying up treasures in heaven that are reserved for those that love Him. We're starting to be patient. We have put off immediate rewards. We're making small gains, knowing that we're running for that grand prize. For our Lord told us, later in this chapter of Matthew, life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And you shall not always have what you shall not always know what you shall eat or what you shall drink. But neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth what ye have need of. That you have need of these things. But rather first, seek ye the kingdom of heaven. And all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so he said, sell for there what you have to this rich man, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither will the moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, so is your heart also. Familiar words spoken to us. But ones that we know in our own lives we have to apply. The Word of God, the truth, our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, each other, our brethren. These are our treasures. And these are the things, along with the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit, that we're cultivating and developing. And they're strong bonds now that cannot be broken and will not be broken. So we have these beautiful words that were spoken by our Lord in His Sermon on the Mount. They concern this providential care by the Heavenly Father over His people to us, that we're striving now to bear fruit, that we're striving to heed these words and use them, and that we become more obedient in our lives, and that each day we strive to follow this advice. And then we are guaranteed that we will be faithful and pleasing to the Lord. And that we will reach our goal. The Heavenly Father is so loving in our lives. He gives us these wonderful helps. The prayers of the brethren, the love of the brethren, His love filtered down through them to us. The guidance and direction that we need today. And He reminds us in each day that we cannot serve two masters. We must serve God. We again responded to the call from Him. We made a decision then who we would serve. And now there's no turning back. But we go on joyfully to what is before us each day. He chose us out of the world. He chose each one, and each one has a special place in the Father's heart. He has a special arrangement. And we know that beautiful picture of each one coming from this walk of life, that part of the world, fitting together in the glorious, beautiful, completed temple, which then all the world of mankind passes through. And receives the blessings. and receives the help and receives the comfort and the consolation of these 144,000 who were more than overcomers, who did each day remember the things that they had done last year, yesterday, and build on those and continue to grow and develop in the days ahead to be loving copies of the dear Son, who was indeed a loving copy of His Father, who wanted each day to firmly say, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will dwell under the shadow of His wing. We will dwell in these bonds of love and serve Him come what may." No matter who in the world says it's not right, or you're a little strange or odd, or you're untrue, that does not deter us from going on in the way that we know is right and true. And praying to the Father, this faithful Father, in Him do we place our complete trust. I totally submit to You, dear Father. I want Your will worked out in my life. I will give my all. This is my heart's desire. So each day that we're privileged to go on in this narrow way, we want to go on with an idea that we're prepared. We have this preparedness in our lives. Just as it says that each day we're going on, and let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. We are ready today to do our all for the cause of truth and righteousness. We are prepared. We realize in our own lives that there are arrangements and requirements that have to be met, and we are striving with the Lord's help to meet those requirements. And at the same time, again, the Lord knows our frailties and our weaknesses, and He has that wonderful robe of Christ's righteousness that covers us. And He wants us each day to go on in our lives, to have our heart's desire that I will do my all to serve Thee, to have the heart desire to be with the Lord and be led by Him and fed by Him through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we can one day have this opportunity to live and reign with Him in the kingdom. Luke 12:35-37. Again, my goal is Christ and Christ alone. We have to have, as it was said before from the platform, that tunnel vision. We're looking through this and we're seeing our Heavenly Father's loving face. We love to do His will. We love to learn of His ways. And these words are certainly words of life to us. And they convey really the terms upon which we may gain life and become joint heirs with Him. And the terms laid out, these terms that we mention, we know the principles, we know what's laid out. For they are self-denial, cross-bearing, walking in the footsteps, becoming followers of Christ, Acts 14:2. I give up my will to do Thy will, and Thy will is within my heart. For all those who would be exalted to this divine nature, we know that it is necessary that our loyalty to God is proven. Sometimes it's proven in great matters, sometimes in these little things of life. But it is daily proven in ways sometimes not known to us. It is proven in ways of self-sacrifice, something that only is seen by the Heavenly Father and known by you and Him. But it is very important. And it helps us each day then to set our affections on Him, on things above our minds, Colossians 3:2, and not on these things of the earth that are each day changing. And things that you thought were secure and would go on for a few years, poof, they're gone. You wake up tomorrow, that country's gone, pensions are gone. You worked 40 years for it. You'll have it forever. You don't have it. All these things taken away. But I seek those things which are above. My goal is Christ and Christ alone. For these earthly things, they're just mocking delusions, crushed hopes. They leave the heart at last broken and barren. But you know, the earthly treasures, wealth, fame, social distinction, friends, home, family, position, power, influence. Sounds like a page out of the News Today. We resist these things. They may vanish in a night. Friends long trusted may become cold, turn against us. But our Lord appeals to us to come to Him with our burdens. Cast your care upon me. Come to me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will help you. Come to me. For the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken, this contrite heart, a sincere sorrow for sin. And we know that God's love is indeed very sweet to those who may be a little saddened from experiences grievous to the flesh, who may become disappointed in their earthly struggles. This is a sweet savor. I need you, Father, help me. And they come to Christ, to the Father, for rest and comfort and refreshment. And they're never sorry. They're never turned away. The Lord, the Heavenly Father, always have time to listen to us, to our prayers. And here, I think here alone can only the true blessing and safety be found. Here alone is the real treasure, far exceeding any choicest treasure on earth. Where Jesus said in John 14:15, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. If a man love me, he will keep my words. For he that loveth me shall of the Father be loved. And we know that wonderful arrangement, the love that the Father has, the sincerity of his heart and character, that he is indeed interested in every little aspect of our lives. And keep that in mind as we go on each day in this year that we've entered into. This love, and the wonderful love, that I know that sustains me. The love of God, the love that you can feel from your brethren. Again, as you enter this place or else you're home by yourself, you still have that love of the brethren with you. Love, that's the fulfilling of the law. Love, the first commandment, Matthew 22:37. Love that we do with our whole heart. Love, the sign of true faith in John 8:42. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love that leads to service, 2 Corinthians 15:14. Love on the top of our list of priorities. We know that it holds a very important place in the Lord's plans and purposes. And when you say, search me, O God, look in my heart. When he looks, he's wanting to find love and compassion and understanding. And love that is really used to lay the foundation of our faith, which is constantly being refined and improved as we go on in this narrow way, which leads to life forever with the dear Father in heaven, if we are indeed faithful to our calling. For he hath given us power and a sound mind and love, 2 Timothy 1:7-9. It's fulfilled in these words, through the Holy Spirit, the love, the compassion. And we want to develop these things fully in our lives, that we can be used more in His service and show forth these things in our life. That we can develop our spiritual minds. That we can become more mature in our outlook, our devotion. And we will grow closer to Him. And we will gain more insights in the days and weeks ahead, just as to what our responsibilities are to one another, our responsibilities in our ecclesia arrangement, and to those that we want to spread this word of truth to in the world. That we can strive each day to go on with those familiar words in Romans 12:1, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That we go on each day not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we do this through the Lord's grace, the Lord lifting us up through our experiences and putting our feet back on that right path when we fall a little bit, and when we do get a little bit discouraged and saddened, and He gets that perfect love shine to us and He helps us. And it happens again through prayer and through this development of a humble, loving heart, which enables us to block out the things in the world and to meditate upon His Word and to fellowship with one another through the real perfect love that was set before us, which strives to look above the little petty things in life, which are of little or no importance, and that we can serve Him with a singleness of purpose and realize one of our main responsibilities, and that is to uplift one another, to build each other up in this most holy faith, to sincerely want to be of help, sincerely want to be of comfort, to sincerely want to show love to one another, just as our Lord did so unselfishly in His life. For brethren, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:4. And set your affections on the Father. Colossians 3:2. This giver of every good and perfect gift. For behold, when we give our lives to Him and strive to each day more and more, old things are passed away and all things become new. So we go on in our lives, dear brethren, living what we believe in our hearts and doing it by example, Matthew 5:16. We take full advantage of our opportunities for service and full advantage of our trials to make us stronger in character, more firm and full in truth and the principles of righteousness. And each day, are we learning important lessons that help us? Are we seeing the fact that we're still in the school of Christ? That there's still room to grow and develop and improve in ways of conduct, action, motive, love, understanding? I'm talking about using those things that we have in here out to one another. So let us rejoice in the things that we have suffered for Christ's sake. And let us be more and more endeavoring to have more faith in our lives, more love and trust concerning the aspects of the truth. Again, let us give of our time, our energy, our love, our joy, whatever we have to give in His service, that we could continue in the Lord's footsteps, continue in this narrow way. For indeed, if we suffer with Him, ye shall also reign with Him. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Michael, for the lesson on Search Me, O God. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. And Michael will dismiss us with prayer.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy most holy name. The Heavenly Father, we indeed blessed and privileged that we have this wonderful opportunity to gather together with those of like precious faith in this meeting place. We thank Thee for each head bowed here before Thee. Bless these dear ones and keep them strong in the faith and on in this narrow way. as we come before thee at this time, we're mindful of those absent from this meeting, those desiring to be here but could not. We do remember thy dear children the world over who strive to do thy will. Especially remember those that are isolated, the lonely ones, unable to meet together. Help them and keep them and grant them a blessing again according to thy will and to their needs. We thank thee so much, Father, the love that has been shown to us, the love here today in this convention, the love of giving thy only most begotten Son to the world, that he would take away the sins of the world. And we pray for the time that come when all the sorrow and sighing shall flee away and all shall know thee from least to the greatest. Help us each day, Father, to show forth more love to thee and to each other in our lives. Help us go on each day as we are privileged to go on in this narrow way, leading lives pleading to thee, trusting in thee, putting all of our total trust and faith in thee, and developing a way that would indeed please thee. We ask forgiveness also when we fall short. We commit all now in thy care, the furtherance of this meeting, in thy care and keeping. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.